warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I am Adam Minahan. Jumping into this Catholic Man Show episode, I decided to stand up. I was sitting as the music was going, which I normally am standing, and as I was sitting, I was like, something's not feeling right. Something's not feeling natural here, and I realized I'm not standing up. So I came in a little late to the break, only because I had to stand up to kind of get the blood flowing. That's how I like to record the Catholic Man Show, is standing up. So this is also, ladies and gentlemen, this is also going to be a first time for the Catholic Man Show. We like to highlight first times on the Catholic Man Show, and this may not be the best first time thing to highlight, but it is what it is. I'm Adam Minahan, and I normally have my co-host, partner in crime, best friend, David Niles with me, but this is the time of year that Dave goes off on a 2-3-4 week vacation. I'm not really sure how long it is, but he always ends up going on a ridiculously long vacation that I continually extend his vacation days each year, or at least say he goes on vacation longer than what he really does. But this is the time where he is gone. He is on vacation with his family, which is a lot of fun for him, but that puts me in a little bit of a bind. And I like had all these guest hosts lined up. I had like 3 different guest hosts lined up, ready to go. And one by one, they dropped like flies. They dropped like flies. And so I was like, man, what am I going to do? Because here's the thing, guys. I have an awesome guest that's going to be joining us the second half of this show. It's been scheduled for a long, long time. And so I didn't want to cancel on him. I was too excited about it. So I didn't want to cancel on him, and I thought, well, surely I'll be able to find somebody. And I didn't. I couldn't find anybody. Like I said, the 3 people that I had lined up as my guest hosts fell through. And so I said, you know what? As a man, things don't always go your way. Things don't go always according to plan. Plan A sometimes doesn't work. Plan B doesn't work sometimes. When you got a plan C, sometimes plan C does not work. So what do you have to do? Sometimes you have to just step up to the plate. And so that's what I'm going to do this episode. I am going to solo this, at least for the first 2 segments. So I'm a little nervous because I normally don't have Dave to kind of fall back on and give a little comic relief as well. But I don't have him today, and I don't have a guest. So hang in there with me. If this is the first time that you are listening to the Catholic Man Show, first and foremost, I highly advise you to go check out another episode before you make your decision on whether or not you like our show. But we do 3 things every episode. We open, review, and enjoy a man beverage. We highlight a man gear, and we have the most manly conversation of all time, deemed by Dave and myself. But it's the most manly conversation on the radio of all time. At least that's what we think. So that's the 3 things that we do. There is actually a Epic Pew just put out a new blog that said Catholic podcast you can't miss. And we were actually part of it, which was awesome because there was so many good Catholic podcasts out there. There's so many good ones on that list. Go check it out. You can go to Epic Pew and just type in Catholic podcast. I'm sure it'll come up. On the description of the Catholic Man Show, it said something about, because they do the 3 things every episode, you know that there's some, what's coming. You know, it's predictable. So I don't know if predictability is good necessarily on the Catholic Man Show. I guess the joke's on you guys this time, because this is kind of spontaneous, because I'm the only one. Normally we have a co-host. Normally there's two. So just when you think that there's some predictability, we go and change it on you. So anyway, we thank Epic Pew for writing that and including us on that list, because like I said, there's so many great podcasts out there. There's too many to name, but there's so many great podcasts, and we were honored and privileged to be a part of it. So anyway, so we're going to go ahead and jump into the man beverage. And I was a little nervous about this as well, because at first I thought I had a man beverage lined up. And then, like I said, my co-host ran out, they fell through on me. So I said, well, it would be a little awkward to drink beer by myself. I'm not saying that I have never done that before. Maybe I have. Maybe I'm guilty. Don't judge. Who am I to judge, right? So I decided maybe it's not a good idea to have an alcoholic beverage by myself on the show. So instead of a typical whiskey or beer that we normally highlight and have tasting notes on, I'm going to do coffee. It's evening time, but I'm a coffee drinker as is, so I'm going with coffee today. Ironically, the coffee that I'm having is a breakfast blend, which I thought was kind of crazy because, well, one, it's nighttime and I'm drinking a breakfast blend. But then I started thinking, like, what the heck does even breakfast blend mean? I don't even know what that means. Like, you know, I know we've talked about on the show before a breakfast stout, and breakfast stouts are normally because of the coffee taste. At least that's what Father Brian Ketterer told us. And what Father Brian Ketterer says about beer typically goes for us. We say, all right, that's good enough for me. So I was thinking, like, what the heck is a breakfast blend for coffee? Apparently, when I went on and looked it up, apparently there's a little bit of speculation. There's a little bit of this is kind of a topic that isn't very clear. But basically what breakfast blend is it means it's not full-bodied. It's not like pow in your face, but it's also not super watered down. It's not too acidic, but it does carry enough pack that there's a little bit of caffeine in there for you to get going on the day. So apparently that's what it means. It's a medium roast. It's a nice little coffee. I drink my coffee black. I don't drink with cream or sugar. That's just not how I roll. That's not how I roll. I drink my coffee black. So that's what I'm having today. That is the man beverage. So like I said, typically on our show, we have either a whiskey or a beer of some sort, maybe a gin. We actually just had, this is a spoiler alert, so fast forward if you don't want to hear this, but we actually had a listener of the Catholic Command Show from Ireland. He's from Ireland, and he shipped us a bottle of Irish gin called Blackwater Number 9. Super pumped to try it. That wasn't going to be the man beverage today, but like I've been struggling. I've been using the virtue of temperance, and I haven't opened it yet, even though Dave is gone. I really want to try it, but I'm not going to. I'm going to wait for him. But anyway, we thank him for sending that to us, because that's such a sweet thing. It's so cool to receive drinks in the mail. It's like all of a sudden my wife says, I get a text message while I'm at work and says, another package came for you. And I'm like, yes, somebody decided to send me a drink. You know, so we really enjoy that. Thank you so much. Tony Brown is the guy who sent it to us. We'll be trying that here pretty soon. We also have a few drinks lined up that I just don't want to tell you about, but not yet. There's too much. Anyway, so that's what we do on the Catholic Man Show. This next segment, we're going to talk about the man gear. But first, I have to do a little bit of housekeeping. If you like camping and you like the Catholic Man Show, we're combining the two. We are combining the two October 19th through the 22nd. We are having the first annual Catholic Man Show camp out. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be at Clear Creek Monastery. If you don't know anything about Clear Creek, it's a Benedictine Contemplative Monastery. It's going to be a lot of fun. Sam Guzman from The Catholic Gentleman is going to stop by, pending his wife isn't going to be giving birth at that time. She's pregnant right now, and so they're having their fourth child. But as long as she's not in labor or anything like that, he's going to swing by. We have a lot of awesome guys from the Council of Man that are going to be flying in. We have people from Washington, from Oregon, from California, from Arizona, from Massachusetts, from New York, I think from Illinois. There's going to be guys from all over that are flying in for this. It's going to be so much fun. Dave and I cannot wait. Every time that we talk about it, we get so excited. We have Juan, who our buddy Juan, who is like going to be in charge of the food. So you know things are going to be great there. He's planning on cooking a pig. Get that, guys. He's planning on cooking a pig. How awesome is that going to be? So you're not going to want to miss it. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to our website. We're going to have a sign up here probably within the next week or so to sign up, because we just finalized all of the details and we're going to be opening it up to any and everybody. If you're a Council of Man member, it's free. We're offering it to you for free. If you're a Council of Man member, it is free to attend, which is awesome. But if you're not, there is a little bit of a fee, but food will be provided. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Go to thecatholicmanshow.com. It's our new website. We're going to have a sign-up registration within the next week or two. So mark it down on your calendars, October 19th through the 22nd this year. It's going to be a blast. The Catholic Man Show camping trip. So when we get back, I'm going to jump into the man gear. I'm also going to talk to you a little bit. I've been traveling a little bit. I'm going to tell you something really cool that happened to me while traveling. Something that normally doesn't happen. Anyway, hang in there with me. I'm going solo today, flying solo. I am Adam Minahan, standing here in studio. You're listening to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. We'll be right back. I realized at the end of the break, I said, we'll be right back. But that's just normally what I say. Habits are hard to break. And I'm the only one here. So I don't know if I have a mouse in my pocket or what, but I should have just said, I'll be right back. But then I sound like the Terminator 2. I'll be back. So anyway, I'm digressing. I'm Adam Minahan. You're listening to the Catholic Man Show. And if you're just tuning in, I normally have my co-host David Niles here with me, but he's on his month-long vacation that he takes in the summertime, which leaves me flying solo. I had other guest hosts lined up, but they fell through one by one. They dropped like flies. So I don't know if that says something about me or something about the show, but I'm just going to chalk it up to it's summertime and people have a lot of things going on. We'll just say that. Anyway, so I'm going to be flying solo because I have the next segment. I have an awesome guest. It's been on the calendar for a long time. I've been very excited, a little selfishly, sure, a little selfishly, I'll be honest. But I think you're going to enjoy him as well. It is Dave Hunsiker. He's the voice of the Oklahoma State Cowboys. I was an OSU grad, and he does the play-by-play calling on the radio for Oklahoma State. He does football and basketball. He's a Catholic, a great family man, and I was really excited to have him on the show. So I just couldn't. The show must go on. The show must go on. So I'm going to be flying solo for the next 10 minutes or so, and then we'll have Dave on. It'll be a great time. It'll be a great conversation. So hang in there with me. This is my first time to do a radio show by myself. So if anything, just flood Dave's Facebook saying how good I did and kind of question whether or not he should even be on the show. That'd be awesome. It'd be great for his humility, at least. Great for his humility. So anyway, the last segment, we talked about my coffee a little bit. I like it black. I was drinking breakfast blend, which really has not very much to do with breakfast, apparently. But we're going to jump into the man gear. But there's a couple things. There's at least one story that I want to share with you guys that happened to me recently. Okay, so I decided to take my family camping. I took my family camping because it was my birthday. It was Luke's birthday, my oldest. He turned 4. It was kind of a joint thing of, hey, Luke, what do you want to do? He loves fishing. He loves camping, and so he said, I want to go camping. And so that's what we did. We went camping. And as most of you guys know who are parents, camping with little kids isn't the easiest thing. It's still fun. I enjoyed it. We had a great time. But it's not the easiest thing. There's a lot more prepping, a lot more prep work you have to do. A little bit more stress, at least at the beginning. So, you know, we pack everything up. My wife did a great job of making a list of everything that we need, and I banked on her really doing that and prepping correctly while I was at work. She did a great job. We packed everything into the van. We got out there. And, you know, the first thing you want to do is the boys wanted to get out and just start playing. And they asked, you know, they're at that stage where they're wanting to ask a million questions. And, you know, it was still somewhat light outside, so I wanted to hurry up and get the camp set up. I wanted to get the tent set up and get the fire going and before it got too dark. And it was actually the first time that I'd ever put the tent up outside. We got this new tent for Christmas. My mother-in-law and father-in-law got it for us for Christmas. Huge tent. I think it holds like 8 to 10 people. I'm actually going to be bringing it on the camp out. But anyway, I get it up, but you know, throughout the whole process, you know, the kids are asking me a ton of questions. They're wanting to help. I'm trying to let them help, but in the process, I was wanting to be effective and efficient. So anyway, I finally get it up. And before we left, my wife said, hey, should we bring firewood? And I was thinking, I said, no, we don't bring firewood. We're going outdoors. There's trees outdoors. We don't need firewood. You know, we'll just get limbs. You know, that's what I thought. And she said, okay. She kind of took my word on it. And, you know, I'm trying to get everything going. I'm like, I asked her, okay, while I'm getting the tent set up, you get the boys to gather a bunch of sticks for the fire. And she comes back as I'm still getting the tent set up. And she said, there's no sticks. I'm like, what do you mean? There's no sticks around. Well, apparently, everybody goes camping here because it's a state park, and that's what people do at state parks. They go camping, and there were no sticks anywhere. So anyway, I'm kind of frustrated. I'm actually losing my peace a little bit, to be honest with you, because I was struggling with the tent. You know, there was just a lot going on. I was trying to get everything done, and you know, the one thing that we needed that banked on, you know, cooking our food and everything else, the one thing I said, oh, no, we don't need. Looks like we need it. So I actually just like got the tent up, and then I just like stopped for a second and just prayed. And I just said, Lord, please help me find some firewood for my family. I really need it. And I know that sounds weird, but it was just one of those moments that I needed, you know, God to push me in the right direction. And you know what? Sure enough, he did. I walked straight down. I walked down to the bank where there was a river. I jumped by the bank and I looked to the back end of the bank, and there was a ton of driftwood back there that was dry because the water had lowered. It was higher and it had lowered. So there was a ton of driftwood that was dry, and I was able to gather all this wood without really even looking. I went straight to it. And so it's just those little things that happened to me. You know, that was the answer prayer that, you know, I know it's not that big of a deal. It's like, you're thinking like, Adam, it's just firewood. I know it's not a big deal, but to me, it was a big deal because I was stressed out. I asked for help, and I asked for the intercession of our Blessed Mother. I was like, just please help me here. And then it worked. I went right to it. So anyway, it's those little things that happen throughout the day, or throughout the weeks or months, that really mean a lot to me. It's like one of those things that is tangible. Like that was my prayer that was very tangible. Anyway. So, the man gear of today, that's what we have to get to. I have to get to the man gear, is a throwing axe hatchet. I took one on my camp out, and it just so happened I needed it, to break up some of that driftwood for the fire, but it's also a lot of fun to throw at trees. My wife was really mad at me because I spray painted a target on the back of our tree in our backyard for my throwing axe to practice. Great hand-eye coordination practice, not so much for aesthetics of trees, but as my wife and I are finding out. But it's a lot of fun. When my boys get just a little bit older, I'm gonna teach them to do it. Luke is just a little too young still, so I'm not gonna teach him yet. Sharp objects with Luke is not a good thing yet. So, or Jude for that matter. But anyway, so that's what the man gear is today. We're gonna is the throwing axe. We're gonna have it at the campout. It's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm actually thinking we're gonna have a throwing axe competition, because that's manly. That sounds like a lot of fun. Anyway, at least it does to me. So, I'll be out there throwing axes. I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but that's what I'm going to be doing. Also, I did want to touch base really quick if I had time, which it looks like I have a little bit of time left. I traveled this week, and I was traveling on the plane. And typically, I'm one of those guys who throws my headphones on and starts listening to a podcast or something and kind of falls asleep on the plane. I don't try to engage with people very much on the plane. I don't know why. I know maybe I'm a bad guy for not trying to engage people. I hear people all the time talking about, you know, that's the most time to evangelize people, and I get it. They can't go anywhere. You have a captive audience. I get it. I get that. But it's just one of those things, like, I don't enjoy doing. So I typically sleep on the plane or at least throw my headphones on so I don't have to interact. But it just so happened I was on my way back from Lafayette on business, and our plane got stuck. Like, our plane had to go through maintenance, and we were already boarded the plane. And it was, like, very annoying because I hurried to my gate to try to make sure I got to the airplane in time. So I was kind of hot and sweaty, and then you get onto the plane, and the plane's not really going, so it's, like, barely blowing air conditioner, you know? It's, like, just kind of room temperature air, and it's barely blowing. So I was kind of annoyed, but I decided to, you know, I had this overwhelming, like, sense of, Adam, there's a lot of things going on in your life right now. Maybe you should take this moment to offer it up. I know you're thinking, like, I don't have that moment very often, but I decided, okay, Lord, I'm going to offer it up. Well, it just so happened that a guy sat down right next to me, older gentleman. He's probably 50 or 60 years old. He's probably 60. And he said, hey, where are you from? I said, Tulsa. And he said, well, I noticed that you have the Blessed Mother on your phone. I said, yeah. And he said, I said, well, where are you from? He said, Australia. And I was like, man, he didn't look Australian because he's actually Indian. Like, he's from India. And he said, but I was born in India. And I thought, and he started asking me about the faith. And I thought, man, how am I going to be? I don't know very many Hindus. And he was Hindu. And I was like, I don't know. I haven't interacted with very many Hindus around here. So I was thinking, like, what could I do? What could I say? Well, one of the things I thought of instantly was Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And I thought, that's good. That's good ground. That's a good foundation. Let's start there. And thank goodness for the gift of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, because she was able, all the work that she did, but she bridged that gap, you know, of Hindus and Catholics. She didn't care who you were. She loved that person. Didn't matter if you were Hindu, didn't matter if you were Christian, didn't matter who you were, Muslim, it didn't matter. She was going to help you. And so that gave us the foundation to start, because he absolutely loved Mother Teresa as well and her work. And that laid the foundation for us to have a conversation about our faiths. And it was really awesome because it was just an open conversation. It was very gentlemanly. It was a very honest discussion. And so there's just very few times that you have a complete stranger that you get to have an honest discussion with. So that was a treat for me. And normally, like I said, I'm not a guy who likes to talk on the plane, but that was a treat. I thoroughly enjoyed it. So I thank Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Saint Teresa of Calcutta, for laying that groundwork. Because I know that there's a lot of fruit that's being bared because of her. So anyway, the next segment is what I'm really excited for. I'm Adam Minahan. The drink has been coffee, breakfast blend, the man gear, the throwing axe, super manly. But we're going to be talking to Dave Hunsiker, the voice of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, on the next break and the following. You're not going to miss it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. We'll be right back. I'll be back. And welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I am Adam Minahan, sitting here solo today. My buddy and co-host, partner in crime, David Niles, is out on vacation. This is the time of year where Dave just takes this 2 or 3 week long vacation, and I'm stuck here without him. So I apologize for that in advance, but we're going to have a great time. As promised, this segment and next segment, we're going to be having the privilege of talking to a man who is a husband. He is a father of two daughters. He is a Roman Catholic. He is the play-by-play sports announcer known as the voice of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, Mr. Dave Hunziker. Dave, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Oh, it's an honor to be with you. I was thrilled when you asked, so thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now there's a lot of things that I want to get to today, Dave, but before we jump into it, you know, as an OSU grad, people know that I'm an OSU grad. Dave is a big OSU fan as well. My dad was an OSU alum. OSU runs, we bleed orange. OSU runs really, really deep. So this year, this OSU football season is a very hyped football season for us. We have a dark horse Heisman in the mix. We have a, we're kind of a dark horse for the playoffs and maybe the national championship contender. We've been told that, you know, the offense this year is maybe one of the most talented offenses that Coach Gundy has had the opportunity to coach, which is saying a whole lot considering all of the talent that has gone through the program. Dave, what are your thoughts? Are you hearing the same things? Are people getting pretty excited about it?
They are. It's pretty much, and this is true in Stillwater. I live in Stillwater. This is pretty much true every year. Some years more than others in terms of people asking about the team on a daily basis. Well, it's multiple times a day, even here as we visit in mid-June. People are excited. You know, I was talking to one of the staff members the other day, and, you know, honestly, you just kind of, you hope that the offense is as good as everybody thinks it will be, with a Heisman Trophy quarterback and wide receiver, Mason Rudolph, James Washington, and countless other wide receivers that are capable, and Justice Hill at tailback, who was top freshman in the Big 12 a year ago on the offensive side of the ball. And then defensively, I think they'll be better than people think. But I'm going to tie this, we're going to tie this immediately to kind of a faith teaching, if you will, in a roundabout way. Father Ken Harder is my priest at St. Francis Xavier here in Stillwater. And I think of something he has said many times, you know, and he was speaking of expectations of people. He said, we really shouldn't expect much out of people. Expectations are dangerous. They lead people astray. They often lead people down the wrong path behavior-wise because they're too consumed with the expectations, whether you're the one that's expected a lot of or you're someone that's doing the expecting. So I try to be careful. I try to apply that lesson to football, believe it or not, try to temper the expectations because it kind of creates a weird dynamic. It's funny how you would never really think of tying those two things together, but there's a lot of truth to it. So it's an exciting time, but I try not to get too carried away with the expectations so that I try to keep the right mindset as best I can.
That's good. Yes, that's really good. So there's, you know, that way you're not falling onto the false sense of security there. That is a good thing. Now, Dave, there's a lot of things that I want to talk to you about, and I want to get into football here in a minute, but, you know, you're, like I said, you're a father of two daughters. You have the opportunity to talk to a lot of high school kids and obviously college kids with your job. And I was doing a little bit of research on you, and you fell in love with radio as a young man. The AM radio stations, you were kind of captivated by the radio voice. And in high school, you got a radio job from 5 to midnight playing the oldie station, right? On a Sunday.
I sure did. And your good research, yeah.
And so your mom allowed you to do that, even though, you know, there's probably some thoughts of maybe a lack of sleep or juggling responsibilities between school and work. And I'm sure you learned a lot there because it was something that you were passionate about, you were excited about, but yet it gave you the opportunity most likely to learn how to juggle responsibilities and learn how to make sure that, you know, when you're at school, you do school. When you're at work, you know, you're working. Talk a little bit about that experience.
You know, Adam, it's funny because until you said that, and this is no joke, I had never thought of it that way. You know, I just kind of did it, and I was so excited about doing it, I hadn't even thought about it. I mean, I took care of my schoolwork. Obviously, if my schoolwork suffered, there was going to be some changes made, but I never really even thought of it that way. I just sort of did what I did, but I guess in hindsight, it was a very good lesson for me because I'd worked till midnight, and the thing that you may not know is it was a half-hour drive back home, it was the next town over where the radio station was, so I had to drive 24 miles. Back in those days, speed limit was 55 and two-lane highway, so it was a half-hour home. And then by the time he turned, the radio station went off the air at midnight, so by the time I turned off the radio station, got everything cleaned up, it was 12:15 or 12:20 before I got out of there. So it was 1 a.m. on Sunday nights, my senior year of high school, before I got home. And I got up and went to school the next day, and I never thought twice about it. It was my dream, and my mom was so supportive. I mean, she was so good about just, you know, letting me pursue my dream, and you know, as long as I fulfilled my responsibilities, which I did, and I knew I had to, but it was a great lesson. But again, I was so fired up about the chance to work in broadcasting at a young age. I'd have done anything. I would have never let anything fall off that would have affected that, because I was truly living a dream at a young age, and I knew even then the experience I was getting was incredibly valuable.
Now, and see, I think that goes to say a lot about not only you and your character, but just as general as men, when we find something that we're passionate about, you know, we thrive on that desire to excel, not because somebody's, you know, telling us that we're going to make more money for it, or that we're going to get, you know, some accolades later on in life because of it, but because this is what we're like called to do. This is what we want to do. And so you have this passion about what you love. And it's interesting because there's a lot of men out there today, a lot of young men out there today that seem like that they're still grasping at stuff that they're not sure what they're passionate about.
Yes.
So I think that says a lot about you, and just a lot about men in general.
I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, and it's funny because one of the reasons I got into it is I enjoyed it. I loved it growing up, and I used to listen to games with my dad. Camel X in St. Louis, Jack Buck, and you know, and that was a nightly deal during baseball. We'd go to bed, and you know, Dad had to get up early to go to work in the morning. I'd crawl in bed with him, and we'd listen to the Cardinals. And when I stayed at my grandfather's farm, my dad's dad, which was about 8 miles south of town, you know, he would listen to other baseball games too. If the Cardinals weren't playing, we'd listen to KDK out of Pittsburgh. I can remember waking up in the middle of the night. The radio stayed on all night. Grandma got kicked out of bed. I got to sleep with Grandpa, and so that's how that works. She slept in the guest room, and I remember listening. I remember listening to Larry King in the middle of the night. Wake up and be Larry King. I thought Larry King was just on in Pittsburgh. I didn't know he was a national guy. I wasn't old enough. Found out what a legend he was later in my career when I got into it professionally. But the thing too was, my dad was diagnosed with cancer, inoperable cancer, in October of 1978. I was only 12 years old, and he passed away February of 79, so I lost my dad really young. While he was sick, just that 3 or 4 months that we had as a family, the only thing that seemed normal was either watching games on TV, sports, or listening to them on the radio. The world was really, you know, for a 12-year-old boy, and seeing this, the world was a pretty fouled-up place. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know what to make of all this, and that seemed normal. That was the only thing that seemed normal. And I have to admit, one thing that motivated me, and I think of it this way, and you can ask my colleagues, is, you know, I want to do that for somebody else. Because the thing is, you think about people that listen to a radio broadcast, mm-hmm. and until you really ponder it, you're talking to people that may be imprisoned, talking to people in hospitals, in nursing homes. You're talking to people that are working. Maybe they're alone driving a truck. Maybe they're just driving down the road. You know, there are a lot of people listening that are average fans with what we might describe as average lives. But there are a lot of people that are going through tough times that are listening to those games. And they're looking for a distraction. Mm-hmm. They're looking for something to take them away. And that's what I was looking for. And that was a part of it for me. I wanted, you know, I love sports, want to be around it. But I also thought a lot about, you know, I'd love to do this. I'd love to take some other little boy away.
You see,
from what he's dealing with. So that played some role in it. And well, I think I like to think I call games like that. I try to. I try to do it. I try to think of it as a service, you know, for whoever's out there listening. And that could be anyone dealing with who knows what. It's hard to know. Could be anything.
I think that's people who listen to Oklahoma State on the radio can definitely see that. I think that's why you've been so successful, is because you're able to tell this story and make it where it's almost like a one-on-one time period. It's almost like it's a father-son relationship. The importance, man, we're about to hit a break here in about 60 seconds or so, but you know, the importance of fatherhood, you know, you're mentioning the time that you spent with your dad. That was the only time that, you know, listening to the radio, that was the only time you kind of just it felt real. You know, the importance of the passions of the father carry over to the son. And I think that's why it's so important that as fathers that we live a virtuous life, that we love our wives, you know, and our kids see us loving our wives, because that's how they're going to say that's the man that I'm supposed to be at some point, you know, when I grow up.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, another thing is, it's never perfect.
Right.
I mean, anyone that enters into a marriage and thinks it's perfect, it just doesn't work that way. Coach Sutton, Eddie Sutton, had a great line. And Catholic fathers, this is good. He said, people say marriage is 50-50. He said, that's not accurate. He said, it's 85-15. And he said, here's what happens. At one time, one spouse can give 85%. The other can only give 15% because of what burdens they may be carrying. Then it flips.
Yep.
Rarely is it 50-50.
I'm here with Dave Hunziker. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here in studio. I have Mr. Dave Hunziker, the voice of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, on the other line. Dave, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the importance of what Coach Eddie Sutton said to you. Go ahead and pick up where you left off there before the break.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking about, you know, marriage is 85-15 because, you know, one spouse can sometimes be dealing with whatever burdens, can only give, quote, 15%, and the other spouse picks up the slack and it's 85%, and the spouses rotate. And another thing I think, and this is just my opinion, I think if you think of just about every decision you make as a team decision, I like to think that matters. You know, even if you decide, well, Saturday morning, I think I would like to go play golf. Well, how does that affect the team? Does it affect the team? If it does, then let's make sure it doesn't just overwhelm the team. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that's okay with the team. Or maybe you find a different time to go when it is a better team decision. I mean, even those little things, I think those things matter. I think it comes down to respect and love and putting others ahead of you. And I think, that's what's worked for Mary Beth and I. I mean, you just kind of say, hey, it doesn't mean you don't do things on your own or you don't do the things you enjoy. You just say, hey, let's make sure everybody's in, you know, let's make sure the two of us are involved in the decision-making process. And then it's a respectfully made decision, whatever decision that may be. I mean, I maybe that's overkill. I don't know. That's kind of how I look at it.
I think that's,
you know, especially in the world I work in, where I work a lot of weird hours and I'm gone a fair amount. I think it'd be more important to think that way.
I totally agree, and I actually think that is a perfect segue into my next question for you. You know, for those who don't know, Dave picked up and he got the job as the voice of the Oklahoma State Cowboys back in 2001 when Bill Teagans and nine other players, their plane crashed after a Colorado basketball game, and so Dave got put in this position of taking over, and that had to be not only a tough time, but an emotional time that you had to kind of pick up where he left off. And you know, Dave, one of my favorite things about sports and what I think a lot of people can learn from sports in general is the importance of camaraderie, the importance of true brotherhood that has to take place to be able to, when your brother's down, to be able to pick him up. When, you know, when somebody needs help, you extend the hand. Talk a little bit about, you know, that experience and just importance of what you can learn from sports and carry that over into true, authentic male brotherhood.
Well, and I will tell you this, that in the aftermath of the accident, when I was brought here, I don't know that there's any place in the country that would have treated me with the love and encouragement that the Oklahoma State people did, given all the circumstances that were a part of that. That was so special. I mean, just the way they treated me. I mean,
right.
In the aftermath
yeah.
of that terrible tragedy. And, you know, and I...
I was visiting Coach Sutton recently, and that's one of the things I told him. I said, I just can never thank you enough for how good you were to me, given the circumstances and how difficult that would have been for him and his staff, for what they were dealing with on their own level, which was, I can't imagine how hard that was. But people were just so good to us, and I'll always be grateful for that. And that's why this place is so special. They just really just put their arms around us and said, hey, we're going to live with all your shortcomings. We're going to be patient with you. That wouldn't have been true in a lot of places, and I don't know if I could have, kept my job. I don't know. But here they were good to me and put up with all my mistakes and look past those. And, as far as team building is concerned, I think one thing in collegiate athletics or even professional athletics that's interesting is, and anybody will tell you this that's worked in it, everybody talks about, oh, you're going to win a ring, if you win a championship, or, oh, isn't it great to win a championship? Those experiences are only as good and rewarding as the friendships and relationships that go with them. You remember the people you were with. You remember the people that were a part of it and how those relationships mattered and how much fun it was to be with those people and have success with those people. And I think that's what players will tell you is. And usually that's a sign of a good team anyway. A team with great chemistry is a team that overachieves and does great things. A team that does not have that camaraderie and that fellowship and, put the team and put everybody else ahead of yourself mentality, those teams have a hard time achieving big things. But that, I think those things are only as much fun as the people you share them with. Otherwise, they become really hollow. And you look at those mementos from those seasons, and they don't quite mean the same as those where you had great camaraderie, great relationships, and people that had a really team-oriented approach.
I think that is spot on. I couldn't agree more. And in fact, it kind of this interview kind of gave me the opportunity to kind of live in the past a little bit. I was I played football in high school, and I was the quarterback of our Catholic high school football team here in Tulsa. And I was trying to put myself back in that situation and trying to draw analogies. And I didn't want to draw the typical analogy of you lift weights, you train, and you do the same thing with your prayer life. You try to build up, and because I think that's been overplayed. So I was trying to think of other things. As a quarterback, when you're seeing the defense and you see, linebackers look like they're about to start blitzing in the A gap, and you see the Willie linebacker, he's going to be blitzing too. And so you call from a run, you call, your wide receiver a slant route, a hot route really fast to change things up, to take the situation and change it. For the situation that you're currently in. And I think that is very similar to seeing temptations of sin in our daily life. If you can hear, see these dots that I'm trying to connect here, as a quarterback, you're supposed to read the defense and then adapt to that play that you think that the defense is in. Similar as a Catholic man, we're the leaders of our family. We're the spiritual leaders of our family. So in a way, we're the quarterback of our team. So we're supposed to look around, see our surroundings, see where the temptation of sin may be, and be able to call an audible, if you will, or hot route really fast to adapt to our situation. What are your thoughts on that? That's kind of my armchair quarterback Adam Minahan analogy of the day.
it's very well put, I might add. And it's hard. There's a lot out there, and there's a lot that that can get in the way. As you said, there's lots of temptations and so many things out there that one can fall into you can fall into those traps. And the thing is, invariably those things will happen, unfortunately. But the key is again, referring to my priest, Father Ken Harder, who's a wonderful man, the key is to keep trying and to recognize your weakness and be self-aware. Mm-hmm. I think that's the big thing, is be self-aware, obviously spiritually, and just kind of understand who you are and understand where those weaknesses are and work at those and pray over those and read scripture and try to, implement those things into your life.
And over time, you're going to get better. I mean, it's just like somebody that wants to be a world class athlete. It just doesn't happen overnight. You don't snap your fingers. You got to work, and there's going to be failures.
Absolutely.
But the key is you get up and you keep going, and you keep trying. And it's challenging. And you know, the one thing that I think about that was actually shared by the Navy SEALs that came in and trained our basketball team last year with Coach Underwood. And I thought about this from a spiritual standpoint, and I thought about some areas where I failed. Their comment was leading by example is also known as doing your own thing. And I thought about that. It's like, you know, there were times probably where I thought I was leading by example, and I probably should have been more proactive from a faith standpoint as far as my girls were concerned. And, I've tried to think back on some of those things and do better and change my approach a little bit. But that was an interesting perspective. I'd never thought of it that way, but I have to admit it kind of hit me like a brick in the head when I thought about things spiritually. I thought, you know, you thought that maybe leading by example, and it's nothing wrong with leading by example, but you have to go beyond that. Because those guys' comment was, that's also known as just doing your own thing. It's like, oh, boy, that's kind of tough to hear. I thought about that on several different fronts. It's like, okay, time for some change here.
Yeah, I guess
think it applies to spiritual life, too, to some extent, if you don't watch it.
Absolutely. I guess it depends on, you know, what are your motives? You know, is it a selfish motive,
yes,
or is it a team-building motive?
That's exactly right. And I don't know in my case my interests were selfish. I think it was... You know, but sometimes I think what happens is too, you can convince yourself if you don't watch it that, hey, I'm doing my own thing,
mm-hmm,
and my motivations are pure, but maybe it's because you don't want to deal with confrontation.
Absolutely. And I think that's so important, why it's important to have this self-reflecting time each day on a daily basis, a self-examination of conscience, because without it, it's easy to go through the day and think, oh yeah, I lived a very holy saintly life, and you know, you didn't even think about the time that, you know, you had the opportunity to help somebody and you didn't, or you know, the opportunity that you had to build somebody up, yet you didn't say a single thing. So I totally agree. I can't believe that we're almost out of time.
It's flown by.
Absolutely flown by. I have to thank you very much, because you have coined my Wi-Fi internet pistols firing. That has been my Wi-Fi internet since, I don't know, maybe 2005. For those who don't know, Dave coined that phrase in his second year. Was it his second year? Yeah, second year, correct? Or second game, second
actually
game.
Actually my first year, believe it or not.
Second
so, yeah,
game.
It was game two. My game two of my first year, I threw that on the wall to see if it would stick. And I guess it did.
It's been a lot of fun. Dave, thank you so much for taking the time to spend with me today. We appreciate it so much. Thanks for all you do. Go Pokes. We're looking forward to the season. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with me. Dave will be back next week. Just let him know I did an awesome job. I don't even need him. I don't even need him. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass.